Hey, got it. I guess got it. Okay.
Hi, welcome, welcome, moms, to another episode of Hopes of Heaven, Angel Moms. I am Angela Presley, your host. I am here with a special guest. I am so happy, and I've just been anticipating this interview all week. I am so happy to welcome Tammy to the podcast today. She is here to tell us about her journey. She's here to help us heal. We are so excited to have you today, Tammy. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad I can be here to talk about my son, Dylan Plaxus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So before we get started, this is what I ask all my mamas. We are
Okay.
moms first. So we want to hear whatever you want to tell us about your baby. Tell us whatever, if from when he
Okay.
was small, teenage, whatever you want to tell us
Okay.
about your baby. Go ahead and tell us.
Okay. Dylan was my firstborn son. I have six children, and he was the oldest. Dylan was into music. He recorded a lot of music. He has it still, left it for me on YouTube. He has a song that's very special to me. It's called Hope. And he wrote it when he was 18. He recorded it. And I'll go into that further later. But he was on the wrestling team in high school. He was just a regular young man going to school. Around the time about when he got in his about 23, he started exhibiting a little bit of strange behavior. He was diagnosed after a while that he had schizophrenia. I never believed that he did, because it was an in and out thing. It's hard to accept sometimes if your child has something wrong with them. But he was, you wouldn't know it. I mean, he acted like any other of our kids. In time, he landed up living in a facility with other guys, and he was in a recovery, like they call it's not recovery through work, but it was a recovery place where you could live, go to school, work. And he was doing really well. I live in Florida. I live in Tampa, Florida. And Dylan, I'm originally from New York City. And Dylan resided in New York City. And most of his siblings lived in New York. I only had one child. Her name was Gianna. This was his sister that I lived with here in Florida. All the rest lived in New York. So I forgot. I lost my train of thought. But anyway, Dylan started exhibiting some symptoms of the schizophrenia, and he was in the program. He was doing really good. They started putting him on medicine, and they were giving him shots in his arm. And like I said, he was doing well. Then, prior to his passing, he called me up. It was his birthday was December the 5th. He called me up the evening of December the 9th, and he asked me, he said, "Mom, can I borrow $10?" And I said, "For what?" Now, sometimes we struggle because he was exhibiting prior, bouncing back and forth here, that a neighbor had blessed him with $100. And he had told me that he was experimenting with cocaine. This was in September prior to his death. So the night before his passing, he said, "Can I get $10?" And he was clean at that point. I know he wasn't using. And I said, "Are you sure that's what you're going to use the $10 for?" And he said, "Yes, Mom, I'm just going to get some cigarettes and beer." And as much as I didn't want to give him the $10, I did because that's what we do. We're going to, and I didn't want him to seem that I wasn't trusting of him. But I just had this really scary, it's like knot in my stomach, like that intuition, like something's wrong, that feeling that comes over you. And so again, we cash apped him the $10. He said, "Mom, I love you." He said, "I'll talk to you tomorrow." And he also said his dad at the time was going through remission of cancer. He had cancer, and he was good, it was cleared. He said, "Here, take down dad's number, because I'm not with the father, and give him a call, just check up on dad, make sure he's okay." So I said, "I will, Dylan." So I hung up the phone. And when I hung up the phone, again, I had that feeling over me. So the next day he said, oh, I said, I'll call you tomorrow. He says, well, I'm working early. So, you know, I'll give you a call in the afternoon. So I did. We hung up the phone, went to sleep. You know, next morning I get up and I had gone to the store. It was about, I don't know, about noon, somewhere around there, between noon and two. I can't remember exactly. And there was a neighbor that I had that had like a bunch of stray cats. And there was this stray cat outside that they said, oh, the cat's hurt. We're going to have to put the cat down. And I remember, oh, okay, you know, sad thing. And I'm driving in the car and I'm sitting there. I'm crying like over this cat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why am I like so upset over this stray cat? You know, like I felt like I was like overreacting over the cat, you know. So I went to Dollar General. I had to get laundry soap. I came home and I received a phone call from my sister because she was like Dylan's second mom. Mm-hmm. And she looked after Dylan. She lived in New York. And Dylan relied on her for a lot of things, you know, and she was there for him. So she calls me up, I answer the phone, and me and her, we were like kind of oil and water sisters, you know. We always had that love-hate relationship. Anyway, she calls me up and she said, Tammy. And I said, what? She said, Dylan's in the hospital. His heart stopped 3 times. I made, and I'm sure, I guess you would understand that, the most blood-curdling scream.
Yeah.
That scream that I think every mom that has gone through something like this has. And she says, oh, I said, what do you mean? Now I'm in New York. She's in New York. I'm in Florida.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh my God, I got to get down there. She said, wait, there's possibly hope, you know, just give it a little time. You know, he's in the hospital. They got him stable. I said, okay, I'll wait, you know? So then I kind of felt like, I don't know if you had that feeling when you found out about your child, but like I had like this dazed and confused feeling because I was just like, I didn't know. I just was blank. I was just like numb. I guess the word is numb. I was numb. And I was waiting. And then my son went to the hospital, my son Klaus, and he said, Mom, it doesn't look good. Then the next morning, I went overnight, everything, you know, I didn't hear anything. The next morning or afternoon, Dylan's dad went to the hospital. The poor man was going through, he had chemo, he had, you know, cancer. He was cancer free, but he was just, you know, still getting over it. It was COVID time.
Yeah.
And this was in 2020. It was COVID time. And so he went to the hospital where they pronounced Dylan brain dead.
Hmm.
Okay. So once he was pronounced brain dead, he sent a text out to everybody in the family. Dylan's was pronounced brain dead. So at that point in time, I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And I still remember thinking back. I was like a deer in the headlights. I didn't know which way to turn. I'm like, I got to get on a plane.
Yes.
I got to go like now, you know? So I just was like literally looking up plane tickets on my phone, getting in the car, you know, running to the airport, what's the next flight out to New York, because that's where Dylan was. I got down there. My son picked me up from the airport. It was like probably 12 o'clock at night by the time I arrived in New York. So I had to wait till the next morning to go to the hospital. The hospital was in Jamaica, Queens, in New York. It was a trauma hospital, very good trauma hospital.
Uh-huh.
When I finally arrived to the hospital, the doctors grabbed me right away and they told me to come in a room and they wanted to talk to me and speak to me. And they told me that all medical intervention was done. And the only thing I could do was give the gift of life.
Mm.
So I did, we did, Dylan and I, father, and I want to say my sister, but Dylan's father and I donated Dylan's heart and his liver and his lungs, and he saved 3 people. He saved a 23-year-old girl with his heart. He saved a 62-year-old man with his liver and a 65-year-old man with his lungs. Wow. So it was beautiful. I did have letters back and forth exchanged. The one gentleman that I did speak on the phone was the gentleman that received his lungs. And it's funny too, when they matched them, like, cause I really didn't know, you know, who received my son's organs until I got a letter. And he told me, the man said, I have Dylan's song. His song is called Hope. I made it into CDs for him. So I have his music on the CD.
Wow.
So I had sent him a letter, and I don't know if I didn't send him the CD, but I gave him the link to YouTube. He said, we listen to Dylan's music all the time. We have Dylan's picture in our living room. And he's like, if it wasn't for your son, I was on my deathbed pretty much. And now I'm like a young guy outside mowing the lawn and doing all these good things. So I have to say, giving the gift of life to others helped me a lot in my grief, if that makes any sense. Because I feel like he's living on in other people. And it gave me more time to be with my son. I was able to be in the hospital with him for 5 days because he was on from fentanyl. He died from fentanyl poisoning. Mm-hmm. So he was on a dialysis machine for 5 days. And so that kept us in the hospital. This was during COVID time, mm-hmm. where nobody was in the room. You weren't allowed to be in the room. My whole family was in the room. We prayed over him. He was able to have a full funeral. And as much as like, that kind of, I thought I would never like survive that. I thought I was going to have a heart attack and die myself at the time. After speaking to other angel parents that lost children, I was actually felt that at least I was given a gift, that I was able to spend 5 days in the hospital, was able to give him a full funeral during COVID time where he had the whole nine yards, and he actually didn't die in vain, and that he helped other people. So that's pretty much, the fentanyl thing. And then my advocacy came in. I was just a regular person on Facebook, posting my son passed away, stuff like that. And then finally, I saw a group called Lost Voices of Fentanyl. And April Badcock is the leader of that group. I don't know if you're familiar with April. Anyway, and I was like, oh my God, there's people out there like me. Like, I felt like I was all alone, that like nobody would understand. And they said they were having a rally in Washington, D.C. at the China Embassy. So I was like, oh, damn, I'm going. I'm like getting my plane ticket. I went. It was their first rally. Now we're going on the third. We're going to be going this coming weekend, September the 23rd. And I met parents like me. I met actually one mom that I worked with her for the same company, and we seen each other before, but we didn't realize it till we exchanged on Facebook. And I'm like, oh, we both know that person. And she's a moderator now for Lost Voices of Fentanyl. Her name is Deborah DeLoren. So that was the first rally in the China Embassy. We had a bunch of parents there, but they weren't kind of accommodating. And then we went last year back to Washington, D.C. We went rallied in front of the White House. We didn't get any coverage the first rally. The second rally, we started getting more coverage. And now this will be our third. And I think we're getting, the attention and the word out about fentanyl. And I feel that by me being involved, and also I have to also say Andrea Summerfield Lee found me. This is how that started. I'm jumping all over. I was invited to a group called Angel Mom Community. Mm-hmm. And that's for all angel moms are welcome to join that group. It doesn't have to be about fentanyl. And so I joined that group. And then I was asked if I wanted to do graphics. And I'm like, graphics? I can't even draw. Like, I don't know. Okay. So I was like, all right, I'll try it, So I started doing the graphics. And then Angel Mom Community also has Fentanyl Angel Moms. So I started doing graphics in both, because they're both like the same, but one's just strictly for fentanyl. The other one's for all angel moms.
Yes.
So I started doing graphics, and I started getting kind of good at it, So then Andrea Summerfield Lee, we knew each other from the rallies, and we met last year in Washington, D.C.'s rally. And she just started seeing me do my graphics in Angel Mom. And she had approached me and asked if I would like to join the Fentanyl Awareness Coalition. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. She said, would you like to be our graphic artist? So I'm like, okay, you know, I'll try it. So right now I'm a moderator for Fentanyl Angel Moms and the Fentanyl Awareness Coalition. So I find that taking my grief into activism mm-hmm. has helped me a lot in the loss of my son. I still cry, you know, every so it could be, you know, you think you're doing so great and then all of a sudden you'll be in the car or you're at a stop sign or you're in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Take a shower and you just start crying out of nowhere. And it's like, I think sometimes it's just like the reality of like, sometimes I feel like he's really dead. Like he's really gone. Yeah. Like still it's 3 years and I still feel like it was yesterday that this happened. And I'm sure you feel the same way.
I get it.
Yeah. So that's a little touch about me. I now work also I work for a place called Vincent House. It's a recovery through work program and it deals with people that suffer from mental illness mm-hmm. and it helps teaches them skills to go out in society. And my son lived in a place like that, but in New York, it was like an agency that rented out houses from like regular people. Uh-huh. And my son didn't get like the treatment I feel that he should have gotten. And when he passed away, the way he passed away was my sister called me and she said Dylan was rushed to the hospital, but Dylan missed his ride for work. He would get a ride, somebody to pick him up from an agency that he would get rides from. And when he didn't get out to go outside and get in the van, that's when my sister was calling my son and was like on the cell phone, you know, what's going on? How come you missed your ride? She would monitor him. And the facility that he was living in, there was a bunch of guys, it was COVID time, there was nobody checking on them. Mm-hmm. So I feel very wholeheartedly, if possibly my son was found in enough time, he would have probably have lived. When I got his autopsy back, Dylan had 1.5% fentanyl in his system. Mm-hmm. That's equal to a grain of salt. That mm-hmm. is what killed him. Wow. Like a grain of salt.
Wow.
That's how strong and powerful fentanyl is. Ugh. And now with my students that I talk to now, I told them, you know, how my son passed away and some of them never heard of fentanyl. And one of the guys that I spoke to, he'd never heard of fentanyl, but he went home and he told his sister about it. And he's like, Tammy, I just want to thank you because I told my sister about fentanyl. She had no idea not to take a pill, not to, you know, accept anything from anyone because you never know where it's coming from. You have to be very careful. And I was like, you know what? And his name was Simon. I said, Simon, thank you so much. You know what? That made my day because you know what? If I told you and you told your sister, yeah. I did my job, yeah. You know, and the Recovery Through Work program has helped me, again, with my grief. Mm-hmm. I'm a foodie person, really. I'm a chef. I'm into culinary arts. So I teach culinary arts classes. And that's basically it. But I feel like I'm still giving a gift back working with people with mental illness that suffered with mental illness. And I give it to my son, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like, you know, he's watching me.
Yeah.
I've seen, he came to me in an orb. He came to me in an orb 2 times. First, when he passed away, like when we were planning his funeral, I seen an orb and I thought I was like losing my mind. Like I was weird. It was just a bright light came to me because I was like, I was praying. I'm like, I just want to know if you're okay. Mm-hmm. And the orb came to me. That was before his funeral. And then about a month and a half after his, you know, the funeral was over and everything, I was like kind of like sleeping, but not, you know, like, I don't know, when you're not fully up, like you're not sleeping.
In a gaze.
Yeah. So I was like in my bed, like bed's this way, the bathroom's that way. And I see this light coming towards me to my ceiling fan. And I'm like, what the hell? Am I going that crazy? You know, because I'm like, I start thinking I'm like hallucinating or not knowing what I'm doing, you know, whatever. So the light comes. And it was Dylan because his face was in the orb. But his face was from when he was about 10 years old. And I was like, a Christmas, he had a red sweater on, and it was like a Christmas picture of him that he had this red sweater on. So I kind of Googled it because I'm like, all right, maybe I'm crazy, whatever, maybe I'm seeing things, blah, blah, blah. So I Googled and I said, you know, why in an orb would, you know, your dead child or whatever, I Googled that, you know, why would you see them with a picture and what does that mean? So I was wondering why he was so young in that picture.
Yeah.
And what it said in Google, it said that basically they come to you in the time that they feel that they were at their best.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So I guess in that time when he was around that age, that was his best time with his short-lived life, you know, so I want to say. So I was thankful for that. And then another time he made an appearance, but it wasn't to me. It was from an angel mom that I met in the China rally also. She's from Puerto Rico, and we became friends. And her son did not die. He almost died of fentanyl, but he was caught in enough time. So she advocates as well about fentanyl because she almost lost her son. Mm-hmm. And she came to the rally with her son, and I met them, and we just kind of clicked. And she's coming to the rally. She came to the rally with me last year, and she's coming again this coming, you know, year. And she plays Dylan's music. I gave her Dylan's CD. She plays Dylan's music. She says it's my nephew, you know, like she feels like a bond to him. So one day she sends me a video, and she's like, it's Dylan, it's Dylan. I'm like, all right, this lady's batshit, you know, nuts, you know, like, what the heck is going on? It's Dylan, Dylan. She sent me the video. She said, we were just talking about Dylan. My son plays Dylan's music all the time. They went outside. She saw, like, the sky looked like, she said, Tammy, it looks like angels. I'm like, I'm looking at this video. I'm like, all right, let's get to the point, lady. What is she talking about? Is she crazy, you know? It was my son. You could see him clear his day. It was him. And I think he bonded to like her son, because when we went to the rally in Washington, D.C., the first rally, I asked Dylan to show me a sign. And Dylan loved Pokemon. He loved anime. He loved all that kind of stuff. So we were leaving the Washington, D.C. rally. And we were walking in Washington, D.C. It started coming down, really bad rain. And we stopped, like, off by a bank, and there was a bench. And her son, his name is Derek, that's the one that she started seeing Dylan in the sky. He picks up a Pokemon card, one Pokemon card. And that was Dylan's thing. Dylan had that kind of stuff, like tattoos, and he was into all that. So I was like, okay, Dylan, I guess that's how you told me that, you know I'm there, you know, so... I never, if somebody would have told me before, oh, signs this, signs that, I would have been like, you're crazy. But now I believe.
Oh, I do believe. Oh, yeah.
I believe.
Definitely.
So that's pretty much Dylan's story, you know. And so how did you get into doing the podcasting? I'll ask you that question.
Okay, so I just want to back up some.
Okay.
Alrighty. You said that Dylan was diagnosed with schizophrenia.
Yes.
Before, in his younger years, did you see any signs of this? Did you notice anything with his personality?
And when he was about two and a half, he was banging his head on the floor, like, and I was like, what the heck is this going on? And he had a lot of anger. He had a lot of angry behavior. And I took him took him to the doctor to see what was going on with him. And they were like, oh, he's speech delayed. All right, he's two. Anyhow, so we get the speech therapist. She comes and he started like hitting her a little bit, you know, like it was a little me, and then it stopped, but they were like, he's not speech delayed, like he's like angry, you know. And then they recommended that they said he was bored, so I put him in like a special preschool from when he was two, and he was doing okay with that. And then he was fine. I mean, they put him in special, like resource room. I don't know. They call them different things. Special classes. Like, he was small group setting classes. And he did well. He graduated high school on time and stuff like that. When he turned after 18, I started noticing that he was liking to drink. And I realized it when I saw my Listerine bottle was like getting depleted very quickly. And I went in his room and I'm like, what are you drinking my Listerine? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, he's like, Ma, I said, there's alcohol in it. I'm like, oh my God. Like, really, Dylan? So I tried to take him somewhere. And I said, you know, I need help with my son. I think he has, you know, issues with alcohol. And they're like, lady, they're like, if you really think we're going to give your son a bed, you should have taken your son, sorry to say, to a bar and made sure he was drunk before you brought him here. We can't help you. And then it stopped after that for a while with the drinking stuff. I mean, he did some adolescent stuff, you know, smoke pot, drank here and there, but it wasn't horrible. But when he got like into his 20s, that's when we started noticing things like, I don't like you, I hate you, kind of stuff, or seeing things or talking about different things. And then he landed up, my sister was like his second mom because she lived in New York, and my sister was in the health field. So she knew a lot of people, and she was like, well, if anything, if I could get Dylan Social Security or get Dylan some kind of help, get him into a place, you know, she knew a lot of people. So the place that Dylan was in, this house called TSI New York, that was the agency that was taking care of Dylan, she said it was a favor that she put him in that house. And also, he was living with a pastor that I don't know if you ever heard of. Son of Sam. Did you ever hear of that person? He was a crazy man, like in the 70s. His name was David Berkowitz. It was in New York City. It probably, well, anyway, he killed women. He went out and he was killing women, like in the 70s. Like, he said his dog told him to do it. It was like, it was, a, if you Google it, you'll see it. Son of Sam. Yeah. Anyways, so he killed women that had long hair. That was his thing. So, anyway, make a long story short, Dylan was staying with a pastor that would go to the jail and visit Son of Sam. And that's when Dylan, I mean, that is started seeing things more. And the schizophrenia, that's when it started getting worse when he was with the pastor. The pastor supposedly took him to the hospital 3 times and they wouldn't take it because when Dylan would go to the hospital, he'd talk and there was nothing wrong with him. Yeah. So then he had some episodes with alcohol. You know, alcohol, he would pass out in the street. So it was 3 times that he got like alcohol poisoning. But up until the time of his passing for like 2 years, he was good. You know what I mean? He wasn't doing anything. He started experimenting. Well, with the fentanyl, it started with this neighbor that lived in the facility where Dylan was supposed to be safe, offered people in the house free cocaine. And Dylan called me up and said, oh, this neighbor of mine blessed me with $100. And he started asking us for money. Come to find out, it was the dealer that served my son. That's the dealer that poisoned my son. And this guy was on Snapchat because that's what happens with a lot of these kids that with the fentanyl epidemic. They're going on Snapchat, buying pills, thinking they're Percocets or whatever, and they're laced with fentanyl. Anyway, this dude was on Snapchat, and I went to the police once I got Dylan's autopsy back because I needed that to prove that it was fentanyl. Dylan had no weed, nothing else in the system but 1.5% of fentanyl. My daughter was good with the computer and all that kind of stuff. I'm not that great. I do my best. And so when I spoke to the detectives, they told me I need to link the dealer to the phone number, his phone number. A lot of dealers use what they call burner phones, you know, throwaway phones. They use it. And like, so this guy was so cocky that he kept the same phone number. He was liking my daughter's pictures on Snapchat, so my daughter baited him. And we were able to connect the number to the dealer. So we did that. We had that proof, had all the proof that I needed, had the autopsy. The detective did a sting, went to this guy's house, because the guy lived literally like 2 doors down from my son, in a school zone, by the way. And so happened that he sold two undercovers, fentanyl and heroin. And he wasn't arrested at that point. He got arrested when he called the police because he had a dead body in his house that was one of his cronies, I guess, or one of his that was doing drugs and inherited a lot of money because his parents had passed away. And he died. And then that's when they arrested what they call him Bubba. His name is Eugene. And he was let out and he's still walking the streets in New York City now. And it's a part of me that I'm very frustrated about because a lot of parents have gotten justice. Some haven't, but I did all the homework that I possibly could do. Mm-hmm. And this guy's still walking the streets,
yeah.
killing other
yeah.
people. And
yeah.
it's very sad. Yeah. But that's, I went a lot over your question, but.
give us, before we wrap up here, give us an idea of what the, for moms that's listening, give okay. us an idea of what your, when you go to, is it DC?
Yes.
Is it DC?
Yes.
What's that day like? What are you guys doing when you're there? What's your day like when you go?
Okay. Well, we have like an itinerary. So we meet up. We're going this Friday. So we'll be there Friday night. We're going to have a meet and greet. We all have hotel rooms. So they allotted, they had hotel rooms through Lost Boys of Fentanyl, had blockings for two hotels that are connected together.
Okay.
So we have a meet and greet at first, the night before the rally. And most of all of us angel parents pretty much know each other from Facebook because we're always uh-huh. conversing. So it's more like a reunion, I want to say, even though sometimes some of the moms we're meeting for the first time, like new mm-hmm. new parents that are coming in going through this, and also some that have been with us from the very beginning. And it's just like like we know each other. It's like a celebration, like a unity. It's like we feel that all our children are together in heaven, and it's like we just, it's like instant love, if that's what I could say. It's just like a yeah. love, a connection. It's like I have more of a connection with these angel moms and dads
uh-huh.
than like my family in a way. Like
yeah.
we like, because we understand each other. My sister, who was a mentor to Dylan, she told me stop showing his face. So you know what I did? Dylan's on billboards. Dylan's on a lot of graphics. Yeah. I'm going to show Dylan all the time.
That's but, right. That's right.
It's just like, it's like, I don't know, like a celebration. I don't know how to explain it. It's like, it's just like family. It feels like family. It just feels like home. Like you understand my pain. You understand me. You listen to me talk about my son all day and right. not tell me to shut up. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I will listen to you the same way. I know how you feel. And it's like when I do, it's the same thing when I do the graphics. Like I knew how I felt when I didn't know how to do graphics and a mom gave me a graphic of my son.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my God, you know, it like brings them back. We want to keep their memory alive. We want to keep it, you know, and it's like all of them together. There's one lady, her name is Debbie Evans. She makes like, she cart like she's learned how to draw from Archie cartoons. She's made all our kids in heaven. You know, on this cartoon, and then I'll be like, her son's name's Jamie. Jamie's Easter party, or you know, Jamie's birthday party, and he will have like Dylan like to sing, so she'll always have Dylan like singing. Or one day she had Dylan with another, you know, girl that passed away, holding hands in the park, and it's just like, even the ones that we didn't meet, I know you're Dylan's mom. They'll know I'm Dylan's mom before they know my name is Tammy. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah,
Dylan's mom.
Same here.
So it's just like a celebration. And it's just like, you know what? I have people that understand me and know how I feel. And it's like an unconditional love. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
It's like an unconditional love. Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. I have a couple of more questions before we wrap up. One question I have for you is for moms that's listening and they're dealing with the fentanyl and they've lost their babies to fentanyl, where can they find your group? Where can they look? Is it online? Is it Facebook?
Facebook. So we have Lost Voices of Fentanyl. We have Fentanyl Angel Moms, Angel Mom Community. That's for all angel moms that lost their children for whatever reason. okay? And these are all Facebook groups. And then the Fentanyl Awareness Coalition, which is the group that I'm with in with Andrea Summerfield Lee. And yeah, they're all on Facebook, you know, and there's tons and tons of groups.
Yeah.
That they can get grief, you know, just like grieving sons, you know, all you have to do is just go in the search bar in Facebook and you'll, you know, you'll find some groups. But, you know, it took me the way how I learned about Lost Voices of Fentanyl was I was in a regular grief group. Mm-hmm. And I showed a picture of my son. I introduced myself and I showed a picture of my son. And I said, my name is Tammy. I lost my son, Dylan. And it was a grief group, sons, moms that lost their sons. I believe that's the one I first started off with. And somebody said to me, oh, you lost your son from fentanyl. Why don't you try Lost Voices of Fentanyl? Yeah. So that's how it started. I was like, wait a minute. There's more people like me? I thought I was alone, you know?
Yeah.
And there's another group. Her name is Angela Marie. Speaking of that, Nick's Never Alone Foundation. Mm-hmm. She lost her son, Nick. She does great work also. And she did a thing in Times Square. Well, she arranged for it where all our kids were in Times Square in New York City. And they were, it was a fentanyl awareness thing and they were all flashed. It was 15 seconds, but Dylan's in, I did it three times. Dylan's in New York City in Times Square. And so anyway, yes, there's a lot of resources. Facebook is a good one to start off with. And we also, the DEA with the fentanyl has stepped up. And also they have, I can't even think of it now, groups where they have every twice a year, they have where you could go and, you know, in the DEA summits, their summits.
Yeah.
And they're going to have one in Washington, D.C., I think, the following week after we're there, just after this weekend. And they do summits for those who have fentanyl, issues with fentanyl. But surely, yes, definitely. Plenty of angel mom parent outlets.
thank you for that information. Okay, so Tammy, my last question for you is a question that I ask all my angel moms before we wrap up the podcast.
Okay.
So here we go. Tammy, what are your hopes of heaven?
Oh, wow. I love that. I got chills when you said that.
Yeah.
Well, one is probably coming in that I see my son waiting for me.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe, because I didn't believe in heaven before, now I do believe it's real before I even get there. And I'm not afraid. I was always afraid of death. I'm not afraid of death anymore.
Yeah.
My son has shown me that there's more than what's here. You know, you could read it, but through his death, I feel like I have a lot more insight to things that I didn't have before.
Definitely. Tammy, it's been wonderful. Thank you so much for joining me today.
And thank you for having me.
Yes, and sharing your story and helping moms all over the globe. I just thank you so much for joining today.
Thank you. It was great. Thank you.
It's just an honor to have you. So, moms,
thank you. I appreciate you.
Yeah, moms, make sure that you tune in. Make sure that you get on the Alana Song website for Angel Mom merch. Make sure you check that out. And if you are an angel mom who has a purpose, who's walking in the purpose for the loss of your child, an author, anything that you might be doing in honor of your baby, go ahead and look me up and we will arrange for you to get an interview for the podcast.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon, mamas.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.